I'm Leslie Cornwell with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Cynthia Barger here with me. She's a certified professional midwife from Kansas. I got to meet her through Deidre DeGarado. They're in a wonderful co-op together. And I've just heard really great things. And even just a little bit we've chatted, I'm like, yeah, you're my kind of midwife lady. So Cynthia, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am a CPM and I work out of the greater Wichita, Kansas area. I am a mom and a Grammy, and I'm married. I'm partners with Deidre DeGrado. We do have four other midwives in the group, and so that's a real huge plus. Mm-hmm. I got started with midwifery late in life, so I didn't really start down this path until I was 47.
Wow. What made you switch, or like what was that pivoting point at age 47?
Well, I had had my hospital births, and I have 8 kids. So we had our hospital births, and then I found a midwife that I wanted, and she really served us well. And it was a kind of an organic path. I really didn't know I was going to go into midwifery, but her daughter married my youngest brother. And so in the course of that, she would sometimes want me to come to births with her. And so basically on that journey, it was a long journey of a lot of tiny steps, honestly. And I was a homeschooler. I homeschooled our kids. And so I think it kind of grew organically out of that, honestly. I wanted to understand how to make the generations coming after me be stronger in knowledge and skill. So
Yeah. Well, and I think that's sometimes as midwives, we always are thinking we want to protect the sacred moment. And it's just as much protecting the sacred moment as it is protecting future sacred moments.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. Because we really hand off a lot of our knowledge and skill these days to everyone else. Yeah. And so taking it back, and what can we be doing? What can we know? And how do we, educate them? I think midwifery is a big educational thing, what we do in our offices, what we do in our lives, and what we do in our families.
Yeah. I think this mindset of it being hidden and underground because it was simple and we were plenty busy where we want is kind of over. Like with post-COVID, you know it, everybody is crazy busy, and people are really starting to understand what a midwife is and the safety, and that it is a great option. It's not just for those certain groups of people that live a religious upbringing and have a midwife in their community. Like those stigmas, like you and I were talking about some of these stigmas that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was Deidre and I's real big heart together, was to kind of bring it out into the open places, because until that time, we live in a non-legalized state for midwifery. And so that was the mindset, you know, as a home birth mom, like, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. As a midwife, I didn't want to get in trouble. But now it's really time. I mean, basically since, 2007, 2008, when the business of being born, we started Wichita Birth Assistance back in 2010. So basically it was it happened to be a great time for that, putting it on the website, opening a storefront, getting on a Facebook page, doing all the public service things that we do.
You have online presence. I mean, that's the one thing I talk about with having, yes, you can do a home birth practice and drive to people's houses, but they don't have any storefront. They don't have any image seeing you over and over again. You're kind of this hidden underground secretive thing, kind of like, not that we're intending to be subconsciously like hid or shunned, but like, yeah, birth center, a building, you're out there, you're present, people see you, they drive by, they ask questions, like, how can we be positive about this promotion to the public?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I first started looking for a midwife back in my own pregnancies, I mean, the internet really wasn't even really around. You know, we went to the library and checked out books on natural things, and so now we just have such a great opportunity to do that. And it's great. I mean, if people want to do it that way, that's great. But there is a place for midwives who want to be professional and out in the building relationships with other professionals and such. So I think that's important too.
Well, and to show we're part of the greater healthcare system, I think that's part of it with transfers and collaboration. We've always felt, at least the perception of me seeing the history, so disconnected. There's this huge wall of divide. But if we could be more public, we could be more open, like not just as much to consumers, but these healthcare providers that don't really understand what is a home birth, what is it all about. I just had a meeting earlier today. I mean, there's lots and lots of nurse midwives, and she was one of them. She graduated a year ago, can't find a job. She's like, I've never seen a home birth in my life. So it's very difficult for me to say I would be open to doing a co-op and do home births in the area. So like, we have to open up our doors, like for other healthcare, even if they're a student or a resident or someone that's going to decide to be a nurse in labor and delivery, by you giving them the opportunity to open up your doors has a ripple effect in the community in both directions.
I totally agree with that, very much so. It's been one of our goals to build relationships with our hospitals and our doctors, and we went and visited with EMS, and like, they just didn't know, like they had no idea the training that we've had.
They have no idea what you bring. Like, I always loved it. I go to the meetings to do transport and collaboration, and I'd bring my big birth bag. We called it Goliath because my back would always hurt after taking it, but they'd be shocked. Like, all the things in the drawers in labor and delivery, they don't realize you just take to their house. It's a mobile labor and delivery unit, so that they can understand. So, but that's how we bridge those barriers. So I'm so excited for what you and Deidre are doing. I would love to pick your brain on your side of it, because I've heard many times Deidre's perspective on the co-op. How do you like being in the co-op on the non-director side, not having to worry as much about the business? Because I think I hear a lot of times one person has to be responsible for all the business, and then 3 to 5 people have to be on the other end of it. And how does that work out? Because a lot of people have great questions about this co-op relationship.
Well, oh, that's such a great question. I honestly think Deidre and I are a good team because of that. Like, I never really would want to run the business or be the director. I mean, I definitely have a lot of input, and ideas and thoughts, but I'm fine being the person behind the person, I'm just fine there. I'm kind of a natural leader, but I do that really by really serving, and helping and assisting and supporting and encouraging and all of that. So as far as my role in that place, I mean, Deidre and I just get together a lot and talk about like direction and plans and what we want to do and how this looks and how to handle situations. And, sometimes the hiring and firing, not of midwives, but staff and things like that, so like there's just a lot of that goes on. I think it's really important to have somebody on your team that's like that. Mm-hmm. You definitely have to have somebody that is the leader and the director and who can do that part. You have to have the people underneath to do the other things, because it takes the whole team to really do it.
Well, and diversity in a group, I think that's something to emphasize nowadays more than ever. You get a better product, you get a better service, you get a better outcome. I mean, each person's strengths. The big dreamer is the one being kept slightly grounded by the person looking at the number crunching. And then the pessimistic is talking about all the risk reduction and bringing in their angle of it, so that everybody's getting, oh, I didn't think of that because my mind's in the clouds up here. But then the other person's like, I never dreamed that big. That's a great idea. Like, how can we continue? And I think that happens with a lot of solo midwifery practices, getting them to find a way to mesh in a level they're comfortable with. Because some of them are like, I want to be partners. I want to have everything intersynced, connected. And then some are like, well, I want to be an independent contractor. I want to be an employee. I want to primary my own. Like, sometimes they get overwhelmed by the complexity of a co-op. And I'm like, but it's really not complex. You just have to decide what way you want to go. That's, I think, the hardest part, is figuring out what level of relationship you both want to have. Then the rest is just working out the details.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've been talking with us, like together in a group, you've been sitting up on the shelf and listening to some of our conversations, but that's exactly it. I mean, I would say her personality is one of being big pictured and a dreamer, and mine is, okay, have we thought about this and this and this and this, and I have to be careful, because sometimes that kind of knocks it out from underneath the dreamer. Mm-hmm. But as we've matured together, we've learned, like, she comes and says, what am I not seeing about this? Like, what do I need to think about this? Mm-hmm. And, she needs to be encouraged to be the dreamer too. So mm-hmm. like, but we work well because we cover all the bases that way, And it's funny, like you would not think at the beginning we would have been an easy match, like if you just picked us off the shelf, you wouldn't say those two people would just be great to work together.
But I think that's an inspiration to say, because it's not, most of the time you have to mold. And I mean, it's like a marriage. Like, you don't know how you're going to be 20, 30 years from now. You're going to mold and adapt and have to be respectful of the slight differences and preferences and past experiences. But
grief factor. The trust factor is huge, that you have each other's backs. I mean, all of us in our group, that's not tolerated. It's not tolerated to go behind each other's backs, talk bad about each other, to, you know, diss each other. Like, there's problem solving, of course, that has to happen, but we really encourage that you go to that person and handle it.
Right.
And that happens at our level too. Like, you just like, hey, what's happening? You know, let's talk about
that. Like, yeah, we had some basic conversations with confrontation and some colleagues of mine of like, I feel this when you do this, like the basic level, instead of just the attacking and like, you're rude, you're nasty, you're just the angry words coming out. Like, how do we have basic professional conversations? Sometimes when birth and emotions are high and you're sleep deprived, it's a little harder.
Well, that's one thing I've always said, like, it's not a good time to handle those things after a birth. Like, you know, let's take a moment and breathe and let's get some sleep and some food and come back to it, because we mean that much to each other as a team. Like, we just have to debrief later sometimes. But honestly, we don't have a lot of that. We really, really don't. I think it's because we all believe the best in each other. Like, we're not always thinking we have to watch our back because somebody's out to do something that we don't trust, you know? Right.
Well, and that's something I've talked about over and over again, the abundance versus scarcity mindset. I feel like in midwifery as a whole, it's more of a scarcity, because that's the history. That's the we were always the minority. The everybody's thinking about, well, we only serve 1-2% of the population. And my mind's going to, if we could get the sustainability going, I'm going to promote to the 80% that would come see us if they knew they existed. So it's that glass half full, half empty. And so if you get collectively 5 abundant mindset midwives, you're going to have, I mean, and that's the power you're having.
I think we all hold things lightly. In other words, like, midwives are pretty opinionated and strong women. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we have to be willing, like in a marriage of 2 strong people, to compromise and to let go of some things and to say, well, this one's really kind of what I think needs to happen. And this is why. Oh, I didn't think about it like that. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's this compromise going on. And we just don't have big blow up things. We just don't have those, because like, we handle little things as they come up, you know?
Yeah. The open communication, the trustworthiness, those core things of, have you noticed too, like, just different, like, is everybody from the same community where they were brought up there, or are there people out of state? Is there a lot of cultural perspective differences within your co-op?
I would say there's cultural differences, not through necessarily diversity, but age.
Okay.
And probably like religious upbringings and size of families. Okay. And like, some homeschools, some have been used private schools, some are in public schools. I mean, you know, there's like all of that, you know, as women who have grown up and women who've raised others or are raising others, that's been differences, you know? Okay. Yeah. So I would say it like that. It's not like close to anything else, but that's the part that we are together on, you know?
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring that up, because a lot of these co-op ideas people want to do, they're just one, maybe 2 in their area. They see a huge need. They want to pull collectively co-op people from other states. So that's where I was like, well, if your people are all local and they kind of know the community and have a reputation, they've lived there, that's going to be a different commitment level to a co-op than if everybody's coming in from out of state. So that's where I was just curious if you had some examples of if everybody was more local, or if you had people move to the area to join.
We're actually all local, but we've had a lot of students come in.
Okay.
That have been from other places, and you know, it's been fine. So
okay, cool. Super awesome. Well, I know before we hit recording, you and I were talking about just the midwifery mindset, because you're like, I literally wrote it down, just being content. Like, how many midwives truly, like, they're usually overwhelmed, exhausted, burnout, like, you're probably still just all those things in the backdrop, having the same things happening these other midwives are, because we're crazy busy. But how are you approaching the mindset of being content? Like, that was really impressive wording you used.
I'm pretty self-aware, and I set pretty good boundaries for myself as a person, as who I am, my own personality, my commitments that I already have coming into midwifery. When I first started, I really, I'm getting ready to recertify. So I've been certified for 8 years. But I really only wanted to have 3 home births a month. And then I also believe that every woman should have a midwife if she wants one. So I'm pretty dedicated to serving women at the hospital. We don't have any midwives that work in our hospital. So, you know, we can collaborate with a doctor who gives us a lot of opportunity to do a lot of the prenatal care and go to the hospital for the birth. So like, I feel like that's something I'm committed to do. But going back to like, why am I content? I'm not always content. I don't mean that. I just mean, I strive to be so, because I want to be joyful in my life. I want to be, I'm a grandma to 10 little ones. And so we have 8 kids and 10 grandkids. And, you know, I want to have joy in my life. I don't want to be run ragged. And so I'm pretty good at setting boundaries for myself. Sometimes it's just a no, like I can't take on more, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I don't myself, think
I get, my adrenaline goes up. My adrenaline goes up when I have a lot of births. So that means sometimes I can't do things for the basketball team, or I can't do things for the church, or I can't do, you know, because there's a lot on my plate, and that's okay. But I don't feel like I have to take on more and more and more all the time in order to feel good about who I am, you know?
Well, and I think it's the mantra of self-aware is self-care, because too many women in general, let alone midwives, feel like they have to be super amazing for everybody, but then they take crap care of themselves because nobody sees that part. Nobody sees, but then they obviously know, like, you're not exercising, you got bags under your eyes, you're drinking a Diet Coke as you're trying to tell me to drink more water. Like, they're not, they see it. But I find it very interesting. And is your time orientation with your mindset more fully present? Because people that tend to think about the past, I see, are more depressed, and people that tend to be more future mindset tend to be more anxious. Do you feel like you're more a present, being fully aware of what's around you person?
I think so, until I have a lot of births on the calendar.
Yeah.
I'm more, you know, future mindset, like,
yeah,
having everything ready. I mean, I'm a planner at heart, you know? Yeah. But I think we're pretty tough on ourselves as midwives and as women overall. And I honestly think we need to be better to ourselves, because like, we're not going to be able to meet everybody's needs. No matter how we try to serve some of our clients, they are not going to be happy with our care. No matter if we bend over backwards 1,000 times over, there'll be something that, and we all know this, there's sometimes people that just, they're looking for something different every time, you know? And that used to bother me a lot. And now I just really feel like, you know, I'm serving who I'm supposed to serve, and I'm doing the best I can. And you just don't know that first time mom is going to have a precipitous birth. You're not expecting her to go 3 weeks early. I mean, you know, just all of these things. You may be out on the lake, you know, and you're just going to do your best to get there and take care of them and just serve them well. You've tried to educate them and have a good trusting relationship with them too. So sometimes I just feel like we're hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what makes us not be content and not full of joy, because we're hard on ourselves both in the past and in the future, both. Like, we're just hard on ourselves.
Well, and you made me think of, when you talk about boundaries, it's not just saying yes and no, but it's clear expectations from day one, like telling them, I'm not a superhuman midwife. I do go to the lake once in a while. I do have dinner. I do once in a while end up somewhere with no cell service. That's why we have backup plans. That's why we have lots of resources. And I'm part of a co-op for a reason. So you get to know the team. Like, I think sometimes we as midwives, on top of the mindset of being unrealistic, we can be everybody's amazing midwife, but also I have to be their midwife. Like, I'm the only one that can do the best care. They've hired me versus they've hired the team and the midwife. Like, that mindset, I think, takes over a lot too, for them to take a vacation and a break.
Yeah. And, you know, we are in discussions in this in our group all the time, but, you know, we do tell our clients, like, you do have a team. And honestly, you know, you have one primary midwife, but you're hiring our whole team. That should give them a lot of confidence and security, because you just never know when a midwife will have an emergency. I mean, I literally broke my ankle at a birth carrying in bags. once. The mom was in transition in the house. And I had to call my team to come finish this birth. But not only that, I missed my next 8 births. I mean, there would be no way I could have done
that. What would you do if you were solo in the middle of nowhere by yourself? I mean, they would just be going to the hospital. Everything would be broken apart like that. I mean, they don't think of that. You're a human being too. And you could slip on the ice. You can roll your ankle doing the simplest thing.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think we want clients to really like that perspective because they're going to get healthier midwives, you know, to have that mindset. You know, and it's hard for us because like we've done births for me personally, I mean, I've done some births for five births for one client, you know, numerous of those. So it's like, I don't want anybody else to do that birth, you know, yeah. What if I'm out of town and, you know, and we have to hold things lightly and they have to, you know, hold things lightly. They get anxious because they're about due and we get anxious because they're about due. Like, you know, we have to mesh together and just support each other and be there and encourage each other that, you know, I'm a woman of faith. So a lot of mine comes from my faith, you know, God's bringing who I need to serve. He's going to give me the strength to what I need to do to serve them well. And that's comforting to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I think, reinforcing, not so much just direct accountability of like, it's not your fault. It's not their fault. This just happens outside of our control, whatever being or whatever the belief of you have, but reinforcing. And I think you hit on a couple things of you're building a relationship, but you're also giving them not so much a feeling of dependency because so many people I feel are like, well, I can't have this great midwife or a great birth unless this midwife is there. I can't have this birth experience I'm dreaming about because they have like, we want to empower them and advocate that you want the midwifery model of care. You're not wanting Cynthia, you're not wanting Leslie model of care and trying to advocate for, we're all amazing midwives with our own unique personalities. Yeah.
Independence is good in some ways, but it's not healthy in some ways. You know, we want them to know that they have it within themselves to do this thing, you know, and yes, we're all there to serve them, but it's not because of me that you're going to have a wonderful birth. It's because of you that you're going to have a wonderful birth. Mm-hmm. And honestly, sometimes crap just happens. I mean, I just hate to say it, but like, if we get down on ourselves as midwives, because crap happens, like we're going to be really disappointed a lot.
Yeah.
Because right. It's just some things that they've done all the right things. We've done all the right things and it still doesn't turn out the way we want. So it's important to model that for our clients, you know, too, that we feel that way sometimes too. We wish we could fix it, but we can't.
Right. Well, and it's so funny because I'm helping a couple programs with creating a midwifery school and all my head is going, we need like 1/3 clinical skills, emergency training, normal birth skills, prenatals, 1/3 professional development, the mindset, the resiliency, the self-care of a midwife, and then the business side. Like I want to create this hybrid because we get hard knocks life for the other 2/3 part. We get the school, we get the skills, we can handle a shoulder dystocia, we can handle a postpartum hemorrhage, but we can't handle the birth trauma that lingers with us for years because we haven't been taught how to do that. So,
and aren't we modeling that for our students that come through too? Because I think that's a healthy relationship that a student and a preceptor has too, because right. It's training them like this is the hard part of being the midwife.
Right.
And sometimes we just have to do these things to get through that, you know, when it comes up, but it will come up. And so just know, like, you have to have a plan and some tools in your toolbox to deal with it.
Awesome. When you guys have the students, do they equally go among all the midwives in your co-op? Like, is it a contract with the group of you, or is it just with one or two of the midwives in the co-op?
It's been, okay. So actually, you know, you have to say which ones are going to be the preceptors, right?
Right. So like the primaries.
Yeah, that will be precepting one student. Mm-hmm. But she's often encouraged to go to as many births as she can for whatever team members, because that experience, she's still developing, you know, if she wants to do that, we want her to do that because she's just going to get more experience from a different looking midwife, how they deal with different things and all that. So it's just more richness, you know, to her training. So
Well, and I love the co-op model. I was so excited when Deidre and I 6-8 months ago met and she was talking to me about this model, because it benefits the community. It benefits you guys. It benefits the students. Like, there's such a win-win situation. And so we just have to figure out how to like turnkey, take your guys's awesome business structure and put it into a toolkit that we could just get, okay, give it to this group of midwives. It takes stages to implement. It's not going to be where you guys obviously have fine-tuned it, but you've got a starting point and a roadmap.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a real growing process. And yeah. I think we have to be patient with ourselves and with those in our team. And I mean, I'm going to be 60 next year. So like, I just, you know, I am enjoying what I do right now, but I know sustainability is going to be the key. And also just encouraging midwives that are close to retirement. Like, there's so much that you can be bringing to this. You know, I like to encourage them, and I like to encourage these young moms that feel a calling to it, but don't feel like they're quite ready for it. And both ends have to have patience, and all the way in the middle of building a team together, because there's just so many different dynamics. And whatever you do, you can always have your hands in, dabbling, learning, serving. I think serving is a big key for me. That's probably what drew my heart into midwifery, was serving my midwife that I love so much and serving her families. And so as I was needed to just jump in and help, I wanted to do that. I wanted to just serve those families. If you don't have a heart to do that when you come in, it's going to be a challenge. And when you go out, I mean, at both ends, you're still finding ways to serve. If you believe in this calling, there's a lot of room to do these things, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, I think that's like wise words we should be ending on. I absolutely loved talking to you, Cynthia, and we'll definitely have to do it again in a few more months after the summer and you've had a nice tan, and I'm sure we'll hear all about all the exciting vacations you went on this summer.
Thank you for having me. It was fun talking with you.